Hi, and a warm welcome to today's Mummer of Many podcast. I'm Christine Field, and I pray we will press in together and lay hold of everything that the Father has to say and impart to our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Kingdom living now. Let's go. Hi, welcome to Mummer of Many. I'm Christine, and I'm excited to share with you this prophetic download. I pray that God will speak to you by the power of the Holy Spirit in a super special way, that Jesus will come alive in your heart, and you're going to see the magnitude, the magnificence of our God, that we will increasingly come into that aligning with God's divine timing as I bring this prophetic message, Passover, past, present, and future. And as our Jewish brothers and sisters in Israel, they've commemorated and they've celebrated this festival of freedom as they celebrate this incredible time, the Moedim. It means appointments with God. God said that the Passover is His. He ordained it, and He ordained for them to keep it for every generation, because there is such a prophetic wealth and truth in it for us to be able to apply. Yes, apply. It has application for our lives. So let's dive into the deep today. And before I kick off, let's pray. Oh, Father, I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would come. You would take all the preparation, take every word, and you would release. Passover is a season of release. It's freedom. It's deliverance. It's breakthrough. And I pray by your Holy Spirit, come and do what only you can do in the lives of every hearer in your church at this time. And let Jesus be beautified and glorified through every word, through every demonstration, every application today in Jesus' name. And let our lives, Lord, never be the same again, by the power of God's Holy Spirit. So we're in the Jewish month, as I said, of Nisan. It says in Exodus 12, I'm not going to go through the whole chapter, but this will give you the whole ordinance and the instructions that God gave to the Jewish people for the first ever Passover. And it says in verse 2, from now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice, one animal for each household. And if a family was too small, then they needed to gather with others. Why? Our God is a God of family. He's a God of community. And it's said, as I've studied this, that the smallest gathering, it would be a lamb for at least 10 people. So if you were, either there were huge families or you would come together as one. The Lord increasingly, He doesn't want anybody on the outside. He wants all in Father's house, all around His table. And that's what the Passover is all about. He prepares a table before us in the presence of every enemy. Our cup overflows. And I'm going to go through some of the significance and the timings, oh, the magnitude, the magnificence of our Jesus, how God fulfills His word. Passover past, where the Jewish people were led out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery, just like the Lord. Passover present and future for us. He leads us out of every bondage, out of sin, out of darkness. And Jesus, the ultimate Passover lamb, has come. He was slain for us on the cross. And we know that, I said before, but I just think it's amazing, not that we're into astrology in any way, shape or form, but God has put the sun, the moon, the stars in the sky. And Genesis says it's for times and for seasons. It's for God's glory. All of the heavens declare the glory of our great God. And in this month of April, Nisan, and every time Passover is celebrated, you've seen the timings here. On the 10th of the month, the lamb was to be taken and brought into the home. And for 4 days, that lamb was inspected, it says in this Exodus 12 chapter. And it had to be perfect without blemish, a beautiful picture of our Jesus. Well, our gorgeous Jesus, He came in to Jerusalem on a donkey. You've got it. On the 10th day of Nisan, he was the spotless lamb that came into Jerusalem. And as for the 4 days, that lamb is in the home and is inspected and has to be spotless and perfect. Jesus was examined. He was ripped apart. He was questioned. He was ridiculed for you and me, the spotless lamb. And he was found spotless and faultless. Pilate himself said, I see no fault in him. And he, the spotless lamb, went to the cross for you and me. And get this, just as we read there in those few verses, it was on the 14th day of Nisan. It says here that the lamb had to be slain. It was at twilight, and at 3 p.m. in the day, at twilight, at the very time when the lambs for Passover were being slain, Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain. And he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It is finished. The price, the penalty for sin, for our captivity had been paid in full with overflow. The Holy Spirit could be poured out upon us once more. We were reconnected to our Father and we went free. For all who would call on the name of Jesus, this is the day of grace, will be saved. And at the highlight of the Passover on the 14th and 15th day of Nisan, because obviously our Jewish brothers and sisters, the beginning of the day is sundown to sundown the next day. Well, every year in the sky, coming back to the astrology here, which we don't celebrate astrology, but God overrides it and he shows it up. And he, just as he did with all the Egyptian gods, he exposed them and he outshines them all. And in the sky, there is, in this month of Aries, there is the lamb depicted. And across so many different cultures and languages, they call it in their own language, the lamb or the ram. Well, Jesus was the lamb, the spotless lamb. And it shines bright in the sky. In this month of Aries, there is the lamb in the sky. And the meaning for the three main stars that make up that constellation is wounded. Is the name of the one in our language. It means wounded. The next meaning, bruised. And the next is slain. The lamb, there it is in the skies at this time. The lamb that was slain. It says in the scriptures, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely the punishment for our peace was placed on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We are free. What a glorious victory. The lamb that was wounded, bruised and slain has won for you and me. That scripture is in Isaiah 53, verse 5. And so I want to say to you today, prophetically, God's timing in your life. He has called you for such a time as this to his kingdom with precision. He is a God of precision. He is working precisely and in order in your life. And our Jewish brothers and sisters, they follow through for their Passover. They call it the Seder meal. They follow through something they call the Haggadah, which means order, basically. They have a whole order that they go through. But I love that the rabbis actually say that it's not about legalism, it's about the heart. And I want to show you, as every Jewish and many believers will be doing on the 12th at sundown, on Saturday, the 12th of April, they will be celebrating this meal. And I want to show some of the symbolism and the prophetic that is behind that. So, and speak prophetically to you with that as well. We can see the name Passover. It comes from the Hebrew word Pesach, and it means this is so beautiful. It means to skip, to leap over. It says of the word Passover, the Lord skips and leaps over his people so that they are unharmed and takes out the enemy. I don't know about you, but I want every enemy, past, present and future, against me, my family, destiny, dynasty, calling. I apply the victory of our Passover lamb, that every enemy is destroyed in the victory of Jesus and what he has won for you and me. Every enemy of sickness, doubt, fear, lack, oppression, sin, addiction, generational weaknesses. Some call them generational curses. I like to call them generational weaknesses, that which would pull us back, that which would hold us down. God has broken that off our bloodline because we are now born again and we are of the bloodline of Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. We bear his name across our lives. So that beautiful meaning of Passover and the five elements that I'm going to cover today is number one. I sense the Lord saying to me very clearly just the other day, I was driving to a meeting and the Holy Spirit really spoke deeply to my heart and said the words, get the leaven out of your house. Before I could bring this word to you, to his church, the Lord went deep into my heart. At this time of Passover, our Jewish brothers and sisters and Israel, for the month before Passover, they are cleaning out all of their cupboards. It's where we get the word spring clean from in our culture and in our language and in English. And they clean out all of their cupboards. They are getting all the leaven, which is a picture biblically of sin, out of their house. Every bit of yeast, every bit of leaven has to be cleaned out. And I've got here a feather and a wooden spoon. And on the night before Passover, this year it will be on the Friday, the 11th of April, the children in the families and in the Jewish homes, one of their traditions is the mum will leave some crumbs of biscuit or some cake that's on the top for the children. It's a game. They come and they find it and they've got their wooden spoon and they've got their feather. I've got my little version here. And what they do is they come and find it and there's great rejoicing. They're going, Mummy, I found it. And they clean it with the feather onto the wooden spoon. Maybe some little naughty ones, if there's cake crumbs, they'll want to eat them. But what they're meant to do is go and throw them all outside. And it's the last of the leaven that's been removed from the house. And I also sense the Spirit of the Lord saying, we often think that God is there as this mean God with a wooden spoon to judge and punish. He is there with love and grace to save us. He is there to come and tenderly, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. He is a loving, fun God who just wants the best for us and wants the sin out of our lives so that we can be finding that resting place, not the stressing place of sin, but the resting place with all of our purposes being fulfilled in him. Our life is purposeless without Christ. He is the meaning of it all. Jesus is the fullness and the fulfillment for our lives. And so, yes, get the leaven. Prophetically, number one today, the Lord would say, get the leaven out of your house. Get the leaven out of my life. Anything that's of sin, allow the Holy Spirit to shine the spotlight of the Holy Spirit in to the church at this time, into our finances, into our bodies, into our health. Let's get all that is not of him out, because this is Passover time. The Lord wants to pass over us with a blessing, not with judgment, but he wants to skip over us. He sings over us. He leaps over us. And the enemy is destroyed at Passover time. This is breakthrough time and breakout time for the children of God. So get number one, the leaven out of your house. And you know, I often feel prophetically, I know a great friend of mine, I was ministering years ago with them when I was just a young girl in Berlin. And I remember this guy saying to me at the time, wow, Christine, you can be quite confrontational when you minister. Oh, sometimes as a mama now with five children, we have to confront the truth with love. Sometimes the prophetic, we have to come and we have to bring the warning. Certainly through these last 5 years, I haven't been the popular voice, being the prophetic voice, but I've found his voice holds true and his voice makes the difference in our lives. And whilst I've been proclaiming over this last month as well, that I believe it's time that we need to move on from the past, from the hurts, from the hang-ups, that has been through this COVID season, through the divisions it has brought and caused, the hurt and the pain. It's time to move on strong again. It's time to pass over. It's time to cross over to the other side, to repent. And when I was bringing that word about repenting of where we have fallen short at that time, this is new beginnings, new buds. In the month of Nisan, God is bringing the new into our lives, and God wants us going forward strong. That's why he wants the leaven out of our house. And he's not coming with that wooden spoon to beat it out of us. He's just coming lovingly. Come on, let's just clean this away. Let's deal with this away. The wood could represent Jesus took all of the harshness and the cruelty on that wooden cross for us so that we go free. And let's get all of the, if there was offense, if there was mistakes made, leaders, we must do better next time, because that was a precursor. What we've gone through with COVID was a precursor of what is to come. And these last days will be, it said, designated, and they will be known by their deception. So we've got to be people who are in the truth of Jesus Christ. I didn't mean to say that today, but hey, obviously that's what the Holy Spirit wants us now, really going on strong through the victory of the blood of Jesus. Fear-free here. The blood of Jesus cleanses us and protects us, empowers us, and equips us so we can go forward. Secondly, today, the prophetic miracle and message behind the Passover meal. The Lord wants us to position and to posture ourselves for breakthrough. So let me just quickly dive in. There will always be, and I actually saw some of the, they call them Seder plates, or there's probably another proper name for it. I'm just bringing you the simple version here. They will have, some of them I saw about £600 to order these lovely elaborate plates, so excuse mine. And they will always have a bowl, I think it's called a mikveh of water. It's like our baptismal tank, cleansing, to clean the, so a bowl on the table, which just represents that cleansing, that cleaning. Jesus himself said, unless you are washed with water and the blood. So many accounts in scripture speak about the water of his word cleanses us daily. Jesus is the word. Allow his word to continually go into us, and they will wash their hands firstly before partaking. We are to be washed with the water and his blood, water of his word, and water is represented by the Holy Spirit, rivers of living water. That's what we can receive from this prophetically and beautifully today. Then on the Passover plate in Israel and around the world, there will be some greenery, greens, and that represents, well, I want to bring it prophetically to your mind's looking rather, it's wilting and failing and fading fast, hey, in this heat. What it represents, and I want to speak prophetically what the Lord showed me from Jeremiah 17, verse 7 to 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Oh, the blessings of the Lord. We're going to be evergreen. It's the goodness. And those who hope in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. I sense the Lord is saying today within that, Isaiah 43, 15 to 19, at this time, God will do a new thing. He will make all things new for you. This is his prophetic word. I'm resounding it out for your life. And as they partake of that, the green shoots and the lettuce or something that's of greens, it's for health, it's for vibrancy. And we can read here, Yahweh is the one who will make a way in the sea, a pathway in the mighty waters. He destroyed chariots and horses and all their mighty warriors. They fell never to rise again, gone forever, snuffed out like a wick. This is what he says. Stop dwelling on the past. Don't even remember those former things. I'm doing something brand new, something unheard of. Even now it sprouts and grows and matures. Don't you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and open up flowing streams in the desert. Wow. New roads. There are new streams. There are new income streams coming to the body of Christ. There are new ways and new pathways that are opening up before you at this time by the word of the Lord. And also to say, you'll see I've got two candles here. They always have on the table. I love candles. I light candles every night when I have dinner with our children. And we had salmon tonight and the candles were lit downstairs. Well, I've got two candles actually from Jerusalem, from Israel here. And the olive oil, for me, this is an extra I'm throwing in to you because I've lit these candles as they would have done back in the day, 3,500 years ago, using those pressed olives, the olive oil. And olive oil always represents the Holy Spirit. We're nothing without the Holy Spirit in our lives. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is within us. The same Spirit that was the fire by night for the children of Israel as they passed over and went through the Red Sea and was the cloud by day, is the same Holy Spirit within you and me, leading the way, protecting us, guiding us, keeping us. And yeah, we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to bring ease to what isn't naturally easy in our lives at this time. And the two candles, they represent joy and peace. Prophetically, I want to say today, you will go out with joy. The Lord is bringing you into the new. He's bringing you out of the old. He's bringing you out of bondage, out of slavery. He's bringing you out of the times of testing and stressing. You are coming into the blessing that the Lord has for you to display His glory everywhere you go. This is not the end of your story. It's been tough, it's been painful, but God has a glorious outcome for you. Keep moving forward, keep going strong. You will go out with joy, you'll be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you, and the trees of the fields will clap their hands as you go out with joy, with thanksgiving. Joy is your strength. The peace of the Lord is with you. The Lord Himself will fight for you, Exodus 14:14, and you shall hold your peace. Peace is a person. Peace is our Passover lamb. Peace is our Prince of Peace. And we need to hold Jesus closely, tightly, and intimately at this time. What else do we have on here? There is the salt water, which represents they would maybe be dipping in the parsley. Now, I've been innovative here and as creative as I can be. I didn't have any parsley in the house. We leave tomorrow to stay with family away. And I've been improvising. So just to illustrate, pretend this is parsley. And what they would do is they take a sprig of parsley. I'll take the whole thing. And they would tip it in. They put the sprig of parsley into the salt water, which illustrates that salty water is the pain and the tears of slavery and of bondage. Oh, but Jesus turns those tears of bondage and slavery, brought you and I out of sin, out of every enemy that has come against us in victory. And He brings us out with joy and He turns those tears to joy for us. There's horseradish here as well. I've gone for the M&S. They'd have them in a nice little bowl all laid out. Marks and Spencer's will support a Jewish brand and company, hey, for this Passover prophetic message today. And they would dip their parsley maybe in the horseradish as well. It's the illustrating the bitterness of slavery and bondage. Oh, the bitterness, the regret that sin causes, but the joy that repentance and deliverance brings. And then also there is here somewhere, they have a lamb shank and it always has to be on the bone. And the scripture says that the lamb, the bone must not be broken. Jesus was the lamb that was slain on the cross. Not one of His bones were broken, as was prophesied of Jesus. So I've used from our game, my little boy's game of Operation, I whipped away his bone. You know that Operation game? But yeah, just to illustrate, get that picture across of the lamb that is then it's cooked, it's roasted lamb. And the matzah here, look at this matzah, pierced and striped, the unleavened bread that they eat for the week long period, for the 8 days where they celebrate the season of Passover, pierced and striped, just as it would have been back in the day, how they would have baked it, a picture of Jesus, the bread of heaven, who was pierced and striped, broken for you and me. And they'll dip that into the various condiments. And here is a mixture of something sweet. It's like apples and walnuts and honey all mixed in. And they'd scoop, then you'd have some of that as well. And they'd be eating that as like the starter. And then the egg represents, it was an offering in the temple that was made, but also represents new beginnings, the cycle of life. And God is bringing us into that new birthing, the newness of life that he has for us. So that's what they have. I have actually hard boiled that egg. So that's what those condiments represent. And then we come on to another beautiful aspect of the Seder meal. When I lived in Israel, I love this part. It's so much fun and rejoicing around the table. There are three matzahs that are wrapped. They have a special cloth. I've got golden serviettes here. Three that are wrapped. The middle one is taken. I'm going to remove the middle. Picture of for us prophetically, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The middle one representing the Son is taken and broken. The biggest part, Jesus, the bread of heaven, his life was given for us. Pierced, striped, broken for us, and then it's wrapped and it's hidden away. And at the end of the night, after they have then a beautiful big meal, it could be a chicken dinner, and they will tell the whole story of God's victory won for them through the blood of the Lamb and bringing them out of bondage into their promised land. They will recount the whole story, and that time around the family table goes on for 4 or 5 hours. And at the end of the night, the children, they get to run and to find the hidden. It is a picture for our Jewish brothers and sisters of the secret redemption plan. Oh, don't we know the beautiful secret of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And I can't wait for every Jewish brother and sister for their eyes to be open too. And so many increasingly are coming to know Jesus as their Savior. And as the first child brings back that matzah, that unleavened bread to the table, there's a prize. The Lord would say to you today, great is your reward. It seemed like he's been hidden in the dark from you, but he is going to show himself strong on your behalf. He's going to reveal his love and his hidden secrets to you at this time, treasures of darkness, secrets stored in those hidden places. The Lord, it's a time of unconcealing and revealing. And yeah, I just sense the Lord would say that to you today. And then the four cups in wrapping the meaning, the prophetic miracle and message behind the Passover meal. The four cups, in the number four, it means Hebraically door. All that we've seen is giving glory to Jesus. Jesus is the door. He has opened up the way to heaven for you and me. He's opened up the way for redemption's plan, for us to be restored to our Father once more. He's opened up the way to great favour and to blessing for us once more. And they have four glasses of wine that are poured out. This is beetroot juice. And actually, I must confess, my hubby wasn't too chuffed with me. When I let out a scream, I went to pour it and it went all over the curtains and on the cream carpet on the floor. So I wasn't flavour of the month for a few moments. Hopefully all will be forgiven. So things I do, hey? So the four cups, what they represent, just going through this quickly and prophetically for you, those truths that after the third and fourth century AD, all early Christians, believers, we would all partake of Passover. We would have understood. We would have seen Jesus within it as the early disciples and the apostles did and the early believers. But then there was that division between Jews and Gentile believers. Roman Catholicism, different things came in and there was that division. And I believe at this time, the Lord has been saying to me very clearly that he is restoring. For 2,000 years, the Gentile church, the shoots, have been disconnected from their roots. And in this day, the Lord is reconnecting the shoots to the roots for the greatest fruits to come forth. The former and the latter rains coming together, the Jews and the Gentiles, God's two brothers on the earth coming together, is going to produce such a power shower of God's glory. And there's going to be such a revival. I sense there's a full revival where the Lord is bringing together Gentile, Jew, old and new. And we are to love the Jewish people and to be a better witness to them of who Jesus really is. Jesus, the Word that became flesh, he became human. He became relatable. People just loved him and adored him. Apart from it was the religious ones who were pushing back. People wanted to make Jesus, though, in their image and likeness. That's what the church has done. We've westernized Jesus. And so you end up with a Western-looking, unauthentic Jesus that our Jewish brothers and sisters can no longer relate to, identify with. Remember, we are made in God's image. God is not made in our image. And as we return to our roots, there is going to be so many shoots of revival. There is such a revival of people and Christians and believers returning and wanting to partake and to participate in a Passover Seder meal. And I believe it's because at this time, the Lord is realigning his church and Israel, and he's revealing what has been, there's been that concealing of such hidden truth that we can bring out whenever we have that understanding. I'm not saying you legalistically have to do it, but I'm saying there's such a blessing in having an understanding. And by all means, if you get the opportunity to, I will be doing something with my family, because I want them to be able to have that blessing that goes with it. So, as I was saying, the four cups, what they represent. Oh, the power of the blood of Jesus. They go through the Haggadah, which I said is the order, and the four cups are drank at specific times throughout the meal. The first cup represents the cup of sanctification. Exodus 6 verse 6 says, I will bring you out. The Lord has set us apart. One of the names for God, his name is actually God our sanctifier. He's the one who sanctifies us. Through his blood, we have been set apart. We are holy once more to the Lord. God set the Israelites apart for him. And then the second cup represents the cup of deliverance. He set them apart and then he delivered them. He brought them out of bondage. The Lord would say to you, I have set you apart, you are mine, and I will deliver you time after time. Every time, it may look like it's late, but I will always be right on time, says the Lord. The cup of deliverance from the plagues, the judgments. Exodus 6 verse 6 says, I will deliver you. And then what they do with that cup, I should have been ready for this. They have a napkin laid out and they dip in the, I'm just going to use my finger, they dip 10 times onto the napkin for each plague. For each of the plagues was humiliating and destroying an Egyptian god and their deity. And even they do it 10 times. And it's just a picture of the great victory of our God. So the significance and the power within that. Now, the lamb for Israel, the Israelites obeying God and slaying those lambs, they then became a target. And we, as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, we are marked, but we are also a target. And the enemy is after us. He's out for us. But Exodus 12, verse 13 says, but the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. They didn't worry about what people would think. They didn't worry about the repercussions. God would say to us in these days, we are not to be politically correct. We are to be biblically correct. We are to be obedient to him all the way, no matter what personal price it may look like we have to pay. For them to put the blood on the doorposts of their houses made them a target, made them an enemy, because the Egyptians worshipped the sheep as deity. They were in awe of them as their God. And there was the Israelites doing what God told them to do and slaying and exposing the nothingness of their false gods. So God would say to us today, yes, it may make you a target against people, may have their have it cut out for you. It may make you a target against the enemy, but the Lord says, I'm putting the target on your back. No secret service. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, of the truth, of the good news of Jesus Christ. He wasn't ashamed to hang on a cross for you and me. No hidden believers here. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. That's God's words, not mine. No plague in my house, no sickness in my house, no lack in my house, no anxiety in my house, no division in my house, no disease in my house. That's what the miracle of the Lamb manifests. That's what the blood of the Lamb represents. If you believe, if you're looking to the Lamb. And here with the four cups, the first cup is that beautiful cup of sanctification. The second cup is the cup, I said, of deliverance. The third cup that they would then partake and they would drink of. God wants us to experience his salvation, experience. Look what he had the Jewish people do. It was all experiential. The Lord doesn't want us just knowing him theoretically, but experientially and intimately at this time. The cup of redemption and of blessing. And blessings would be spoken over as you drank that third cup. Exodus 6 verse 6 says, I will redeem you. We have been purchased back. And Jesus, when he did, he was actually taking and having, sharing a Passover meal with his disciples when he said the words, Matthew 26, 26 to 29. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he broke it and he blessed it and he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and it was that third cup that he took, the cup of redemption. And he said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. How beautiful is that? No wonder straight after the Passover meal, Jesus went to Gethsemane and he fell on his knees. He just partaken. He knew he was to be the sacrificial lamb. He knew that he was to take the bitterness. He knew that all these cups that he was literally going to drink, that cup and pay the price for us. The four cups represents Jesus, the door, and his, our Father's authority over all, his great power. Number four in Hebrew means authority. And we can see then within that, that there's Jesus. He falls to his knees and he cries out, oh God, if only, Luke 22, 41, Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel, God will always send strengthening, appeared and strengthened him. And Jesus, he drank that cup. Not his will, but he was willing to follow through. May we follow the example of Jesus. Not our will, but your will be done in us. That's the miracle. That's the prophetic of Passover and of that third cup. And then the fourth cup, prophetically, and this is beautiful, Passover, our third point today, Passover, past, present and future, experiential. We can experience all of the victory of those three cups that Jesus drank for us when he poured out his blood for us on the cross, the cup of sanctification, holiness, purification, the cup of deliverance from judgment, from every plague, from every pandemic. We don't need to fear what the world fears. We've been delivered. We've been brought out of darkness. We're in this world. We're not of it. We are kingdom kids. And then the cup of redemption, we are redeemed. And the cup of blessing, we are blessed by the Lord. And the fourth cup is the cup of hope, expectation, future. It's the cup of praise. They call it the cup of Hallel. It's the cup of salvation and restoration. It's speaking of, I will take you for my people, Exodus 6, 7. And we can look to the future where the Lord will literally receive us to heaven to be with him forever. Revelation 15, verse 2 to 4. And in Revelation, the Lamb is mentioned, the Lamb of God, 29 times. it's mentioned the most in Revelation, I think, than in any other book in the Bible, because for all eternity, the story of Passover and the Passover lamb will be the story of our great victory. It says, Revelation 15, 2 to 4, I saw before me what seemed to be a glass sea. So no longer the Red Sea, but the glass sea mixed with fire. And on it stood all the people who had been victorious over the beast and his statue and the number representing his name. They were all holding harps that God had given them. And they were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous deeds have been revealed. And Jesus then said, he took the fourth cup before he went to Gethsemane. And with that, in verse 29 of Matthew 26, he said, but I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine. I will not drink this cup with you again until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus will take us, just as our Jewish brothers and sisters take that cup, the cup of hope and restoration and the future and the prophetic that is to come. I will take you for my people. Exodus 6, verse 7. We can look to that glorious day that's not far away when Jesus will come and he will take us home to be with him forever. The Lamb has overcome because he's overcome. We will too. And he's gone before us to prepare that place for us. Isn't that powerful? Passover, past, present, and future. May you experience the wonder of that this year. And number four, I've wanted to give you today, and I believe you've received it, a flavour of Passover favour. Because the Lamb has come, the Lamb has overcome. Because the Lamb was slain for you and me, we can know the sweetness. Once more, we can partake of that. The bitterness of sin is a distant memory because we don't need to take those bitter herbs. We don't need to taste and see that the Lord is good. We can partake of all he has for our lives once more. A flavour of Passover favour. And fifthly, we've looked at the promise of Passover, and that is, because Passover means the Lord skips and leaps over his people, we go free. Every enemy is destroyed. The Lord will break through, and for you and me, we will break out and we will burst forth into all the Lord has for us. A life of blessing, favour, fruitfulness. And we're going to be evergreen. We're going to be ever flourishing with him. That is the promise of Passover. And I don't know about you, but I want the enemies of my house and my lineage removed. That's what Passover is all about. Are you ready to pray? And let's receive God's word into our hearts, experience his Passover in our lives this year in a very special way. Father, I thank you for this word today. I thank you, Lord, that you're making all things new. I thank you that, Jesus, you are the sacrificial lamb slain for us. Thank you for the victory. Our healing is in you. Our forgiveness is in you. Our life is in you. And Lord, I thank you that as you make all things new, we will rise from this place. We will enter into your promises and into the promised land that you have for each and every one of us. We will stand. We will take the land. We will take our families, Lord. And just as the blood was put on the doorposts of the houses and of our homes, the blood we declare on the doorpost of every home, we will not come out from your house. We're going to live in your house forevermore, in your protection. You are our refuge. You are our hiding place. You are our dwelling place. You are our home. We're going to live and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And no harm, no actual harm can ever befall us as we trust in you. In these dodgy days, we give you praise because we're safe in Father's house. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Till next time.